If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 4. The Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 4. Again, this morning we have a verse of Scripture or some verses of Scripture that deal with a historical event that took place, but yet it is a Scripture that gives us life and hope and understanding that things can be well with us as a child of God, as a believer. The Old Testament and the New Testament never disagree. We have a Bible that is complete, and we don't have two Bibles, we have one Bible. And it is divided into 66 books, part of them in what we call the Old Testament, part in the New Testament, but it is the Bible, the Word of God. And so they complement each other. And so this morning, I want us to read in chapter 4 of the book of 2 Kings. And I usually do not read this many verses, but I wanted to read this passage to get the context of the message and note some things here. Beginning in verse number 8, and we will read down through verse number 26. So you follow along with me and read with me and have your heart open as we read this story in the Old Testament. Verse number 8, 2 Kings chapter 4. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, that what is done for thee. Wouldest thou be spoken for the king, or the captain, or the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for thee?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, now there's a number of years gone by now, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother and sat on her knees until noon, and then died. And she went up and lay him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. She called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, on one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she sat on an ass and said unto her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said unto Gehazi's servant, "Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." We have this story here this morning of this lady and her husband that were very friendly and open to the ministry of Elisha. As Elisha came through their settlements day by day and week by week at different times, she would have him come in and share a meal with them. And maybe she was a little more sincere, maybe she's a little more spiritual than her husband, for she brought to attention and says, well, he comes through here continually, and maybe we ought to just build him a little chamber where he can lay down and rest. We'll put a bed in there, we'll put a stool, we'll put a table, and he can just rest as he travels this way. We still call that today the prophet's chamber. And that's what we have here at our church, and it's what churches have that have a place for traveling preachers or missionaries to come by. We call it prophet's chamber, and it's this where that came from. And so they decided to build this little room on the side of the house to take care of the man of God, take care of Elisha. And as he traveled through, he was to be able to rest there and to eat and just have a time of refreshing. And this story tells of this blessed woman, and she had no children. Elisha realized, and he asked her what he could do for her, and she said, well, I'm just with my own people, and she didn't even mention this. Elisha's servant mentioned that she had no children. And he told her, he said, about this time next year, you will embrace a child. You'll embrace a son. Now, her husband was old, and she was probably on up in years also, and she said, now, don't be doing this. Don't be telling me this to make me feel good and it not happen. Oh, but Elisha was a man of God, and what he said, it did happen. We read in the story, as we just read now, how that some time had passed, the child has grown up a little bit, and he goes out to where his father is, and he has something takes place. He says, oh, my head, my head. And seemingly he falls down, and they carry him back to his mother. She puts the child on her lap to comfort him, and the scripture says that he died. And so she decides that, I'm going to go to the man of God. And her husband said, you're going to go today? Well, where else is there to go? What other better time to go than today? She's lost her son. And she makes her journey and makes that trip to Mount Carmel. And Elisha sees her coming and he sends his servant, Gehazi, and he says, you go find out how she is. Ask her how she is. Ask her how her husband is. Ask her how her child is. And when he had asked the question, she made this statement. And this is really the title of the message this morning. It is well. I don't know how many of us would be able to say that. I don't know. I doubt very seriously if I lost a child, that within just a few moments of seeing that and that happening and literally falling to death in her arms on her lap, I don't know if I could say that it's well. But when she heard the questions and she answered them, oh, thank God for her answer. Her child was dead and she said, it is well. What an amazing statement. You know, most people can only say things are well when everything's good. Things going good with the family. Things going good with the friends and finances. Things going okay with life in general. Fitness and health is doing well. Then we talk about things are well. Sometimes I call folks and sometimes I talk to different ones. And sometimes preachers will call me and I say, well, how you doing? Well, things are not so well. You see, we have a little different aspect. We have a little different view maybe than this woman did as she was talking to the prophet. She said, it is well. I'm glad this morning that it doesn't matter what situation comes our way, it doesn't matter what difficulty may crop its head up before us, as a child of God, as a believer, we can say, it is well. Now, we may not say that, but we can say, it is well. For the Lord has settled it all. He's taken care of all these things. One of my favorite songs is found in our songbook, page 146. It says, it is well with my soul. H.G. Spafford wrote that song as he crossed the ocean going toward England, where his four children had perished in the sea. Some weeks before that, as they traveled the ship, his wife and the children were on, was rammed by another boat, and it sunk into the ocean, and over 200 people perished that day, and his children perished. And he goes across the ocean, and the captain of the ship points out to him almost as close as they can figure, the exact spot of where that ship went down. And he sits down and he pens these words, "It is well with my soul." How could Spafford write that? How could this Shunammite woman say, "It is well"? How can I say, when things go wrong and problems arise, and they do, it's not if they do, it's when they do. It's not just the possibility of problems. It's not just the possibility of discouragements and defeats. It's not just possible, but it will happen. And how can we say, "It is well with my soul"? I want to just give you a few things here this morning. I think you can agree with me that first of all, that we can say it is well with our soul because of the person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning, one day I met Him. He came to where I was and He told me of every need that I had and every problem that He could take care of me, and He saved me by His wonderful, marvelous grace. So therefore I can say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of my Savior, I can say it is well. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." If we have any hope of glory this morning, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope of heaven is not in the baptismal waters, even though I believe baptism is very important for the child of God. My hope of heaven is not there. My hope of heaven is not standing behind this pulpit that I believe is very important and very sacred that we preach the Word of God. But that is not my hope of heaven. My hope of heaven is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for me that day up on Calvary. I have sweetness in my heart when there is sadness on the outside. When there are difficulties, Job says in Job 35 and verse 10, "But none saith, where is God my Maker, or who giveth songs in the night?" Thank God I know who gives songs in the night. It's the Lord of glory. It is Jesus Christ that gives me a song in the night. He gives me a song when sorrow overshadows and when sorrow comes and when difficulties arise. Thank God for the sweetness within, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in my heart and in my life. I belong to Him now, and therefore He is my comforter and He's my strength. When I am weak, thank God He is strong. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things." Do we believe the book? Sure we do. Then that verse says, "I can do all things through Christ." It's always Him. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." He gives me strength when I cannot go, when I cannot do. Thank God He is there to do that. So He's my sweetness when sadness is everywhere. He's my strength when I'm weak. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He is my supply when everything else is lacking and everything else is falling apart and the world around me is disintegrating. Thank God He's my supply. I don't have to depend on what I can do. I can depend on what He did. I can say it's well. David said there was a time when he was young and now he was older. And he said, "I haven't seen God's people begging bread." Our God supplies our need. He can do it according to His riches. Whew, that's a pretty good bank count. The banks can go broke and the government can go down, but God still has His riches. Somebody says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Guess what? He owns the hills. Oh, guess what? He owns the gold under the hills. He can handle it all. He has the supply. And I can have joy in my heart and I can say it's well because He is my supply. He is the one that gives me everything that I have. You realize this morning we got out of bed because God let us get out of bed? Do you know we had enough sense about us to make our way to the house of God because God let us have that? God could touch one little particle in our mind and we wouldn't know where we were, where we were going, or where we'd been. Sometimes I feel like that's happened. But God is able and God does the supplying. So therefore I can say it is well with my soul. That dear woman that had lost her son, the son of her old age, and the joy that he had given to her, she had seen him grow, and now he goes to his father, and all of a sudden he has something wrong with his head. Whatever it might have been, what we would call it, it destroyed him. But God's able. God is able. And so we find she understood it is well. It is not only well because of my Savior, it is well to me today because of the pardon of my sins. Do you realize there will not be a sin that you ever commit as a believer? Now, I know I get on shaky ground here with some people. By the way, we still do sin. Amen? Anybody perfect in here yet? Don't shake hands with me because it won't be good. I'll rub off. We are still sinners. Oh, thank God I've been saved. My sins are forgiven. My past sins, my present sins, well, He's even forgiven those I'm going to do tomorrow. That's why we have an eternal salvation. He has forgiven us. Now, I'm going to stand before God for the deeds done in my body, whether good or bad, but my sins have been forgiven. My life is in His hands. And so I can say things are well this morning because my sins are gone. My sins have been pardoned without my works. I didn't have to climb any steps. I didn't have to climb any ladders. I didn't have to crawl on my knees. I didn't have to do anything. I'm saved this morning because of His work. I'm saved this morning because I couldn't work. There wasn't enough work in me to do it. There wasn't enough willingness in me to do what it took to get to heaven if I could. Oh, but thank God my sins are gone because of what He did. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God I have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ given to me by Him, and one day I trusted Him. You know what He did? Paid in full. I like to get those things that say, got that little red stamp on it. You ever got one? Not many, maybe. I get a few of them. I got my last bill this week on the payment on that van that's about to go down. So I got the notice. One more payment. And you know what I'll get in the mail here in about another month? It'll have a red sticker on it. It'll have a red stamp on it and says, "Paid in full." Oh, thank God that's what Jesus did for me. He paid it. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Thank God this morning we have a salvation, not because of our works, because of what He did. It wasn't because of my worth. I'm not worth anything. I'm not worth anything. I didn't deserve God's pardon, but thank God He gave it. I got mercy when I should have gotten justice. When justice called, mercy answered. Saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed through Him. I ought to be able to say it as well. Because of not my works, not of my worth. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. That's good biblical terminology. Somebody says, what faith are you? I say, I'm saved. Born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. By the washing of regeneration, renewing, bringing to life, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5, but it has it all. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's according to His mercy. He saved us. He washed us. He renewed us by the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. You can say what you want to, but the Spirit of God don't deal with you, you'll never come to know Him. Call me what you want to. Put any terminology on it you want. I just sort of like biblicist. That's what the Bible says. My sins are gone. Therefore, it is well. My Savior has come. Therefore, it is well. Not by my works, not by my worth, and I don't have to wait for it. You know, there's some people that say, well, I hope in Jesus' name I'll get there. Quit hoping. Trust the Lord. Quit believing you might make it and just trust God and know you'll make it. Of all things in this world that we should be sure of is our eternity. I may not be sure of tomorrow. I'm not even sure this afternoon. But I know one thing. I'm sure of heaven. I don't know for sure about what next year will bring or not, or what next month will bring or even next year, next day. But I do know that if I meet God today, I'm saved. And if I don't meet Him today, I'm saved. I don't have to wait for that. I have pardon now. I have eternal life now. I don't have to wait for the resurrection of the body to find out if I'm going to heaven or hell. That's foolishness. I don't have to wait till judgment time. Well, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works. Guess what? It's not by works of righteousness. Isaiah said all of our righteousness are filthy rags in His sight. And so therefore, it's not those things, but it's in Him. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. I'm glad it didn't say next year. I'm glad it didn't say, beloved, at the judgment you will find out if you're the sons of God. No. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know all the future. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what I shall be. But I know what I am. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Thank God I can know. I can have joy. I can say it's well with my soul because of the pardon of my sin. I touched on this next point just a little bit while ago. It's well with my soul because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Baptists, don't be afraid of the term Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Just don't be afraid of that. I know there's people that overly abundantly use it, but let's use it right. Just because somebody talks about good steak all the time don't mean I don't go get it. And just because they use things wrong don't mean we shy away from truth. We that are saved, we that are born again, when we got saved, the Bible says the Holy Ghost moved in. We're born again. But ye are not in flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Romans 8:9. If we do not have the Spirit, we're none of His. When I got saved, I got the Spirit. Parenthesis. All of Him. When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in your soul, moved into your life. He took up His abode. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to honor and glorify God in our bodies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in our body. Therefore, I can say things are well because I have God in me. What do you mean you have God? God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're Trinitarian people here. Say, explain it. I can't. Believe it, I do. The Spirit of God comforts me. The Spirit of God conducts me on where to go and what to do and what to say. The Spirit of God counsels me. That inner voice, that still small voice, thank God, He can tell you things that nobody else can tell you because He knows things nobody else knows. The Holy Spirit knows everything about me that is there. He knows more than my close friends. Because I'm not going to tell them. He knows more than when we come down to the altar and tell somebody, we're not going to be honest. He knows more about my wife than I know about my wife. He knows more about me than she knows about me. Because He lives right here. Yes, sir. He knows more. He's got all knowledge. He's God. Amen. And so therefore I can say, it's well. I'm saved. Yeah. My sins are gone. And the Holy Spirit's here. Mm-hmm. How could we ever say, not so well? Mm-hmm. Oh, not doing very good. Oh, yes, we are. He comforts, conducts, counsels me. I can say it's well this morning because of the promise of the Scripture. First Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest to His people, Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. That's a blessed verse. 1 Kings 8:56. You ought to underline it, mark it, put a star by it. We have His promises. I can have rest because He has promised, and not one word has failed. Isn't that wonderful? Not one promise that God ever made to anybody has ever failed. If God promised us the moon, He'd deliver it. God's given us more than that. He's promised us heaven. And He will deliver that. Do you realize this morning, as a believer, you're just as good for heaven if He's already there? Romans 8 says, all that verse talks about those whom He justified, all those things. Then the last part says, glorified. Now that's not future. Not in the book. Check me out. It says glorified, past tense. You know when we got glorified? When He moved in. When we got saved. We just haven't experienced it yet. We haven't got there. But we're just as good as there as if we were there. Why? Because He promised us that. And not one promise has ever failed. Not one word has ever failed that God gave to His people. Ooh, things are well, aren't they? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us, I'm one of those us, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. They're just as well as delivered. They're on their way. I have the promise of salvation. Thank God He saved me. He said He would. There's not a person in here that's ever tried out the Lord like He said, believing in Him in faith, that He didn't save. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to a knowledge of Him. And so, when He's promised salvation, He'll deliver. When He's promised us security, He will deliver. Thank God I'm safe in the Lord. When He promises supply, He will give. When He promises success, now that's His success, by the way, not ours. When He promises us success, it's His value of success. It's not our value. There's a lot of preachers in this country that wouldn't classify this church or this preacher too successful because we have 80 to 90 people. The world judges success by numbers. But I'll just let God do the tallying at the end of time. But I believe he looks at it a little differently than we do. He's promised success. He's promised strength. Lastly this morning, it's well with my soul because of the prospect of the second coming. He is coming. John 14, wonderful verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't turn on CNN. Very seldom do I listen to CNN. Don't turn on Fox. Don't turn on 7, 14, 25, or 44. Or if you live west of here, 6 and 12, and something at 25. Because the world has no good news. But I got good news. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Bless the Lord, it's not many rooms, it's many mansions. I got a few rooms, I want a mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. Just like this woman did for Elisha. She prepared a place for him. And when he traveled through there, he knew that place was ready. He knew that place was there. He knew he could find rest. Thank the Lord this morning, when we go there, we can find rest. We're going to travel there one day. Amen. We're going to go there. I've heard people say, well, I outrun death this time. I outdone death this time. I tricked old death this time. But there's going to be a time you don't outrun him, out-trick him, or outdo him. He's on our trail. And one of these days he'll overtake us. Oh, but thank God, I have a place. Thank the Lord this morning, he's coming. As a believer, we can rest in his return. Oh, and he's not coming back as some spiritual thing. He's coming back personally. He left here one day. As they was talking there in Acts, all of a sudden, the gravitational pull of this earth had no hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to happen to us. I don't have to worry about it. It's well. And as he went up, those men were standing there gazing. I would have too. And the angel of the Lord said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus." Well, I believe it. This same Jesus. As you have seen him go, he's coming back. He's going to come back just like he left. He left physically. He's coming back physically. How do you know that, preacher? Oh, I know it. Tug on my heart. In the Word of God. One of these days, there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a gathering unto him. I sort of like those words sometimes better than the word rapture. Rapture is not in the Bible. The teaching is. But Paul says we're going to be gathered unto him. Call it what you want to. I'm going to be there. Things are well. I'm going to be removed from this old evil world. Thank God, may it be today. I get so sick of hearing that junk. Makes me mad. It does help me get a few sermons sometimes. This all the old stuff going on in this world. How to hate God. How the world's living. Yesterday, car bomb in Afghanistan killed a number of Americans. Today I heard something else. Somebody else was killed somewhere, Beirut or somewhere. Tomorrow we'll hear somewhere else. could be in our own country, has happened, will happen, just a matter of time. We have ungodliness everywhere. My goodness, I'm late. We have ungodliness everywhere. I heard yesterday and I repeated this morning, and I'll quit, that the Girl Scouts, some of you know what I'm going to say, the Girl Scouts now have made it possible for a little boy to become a Girl Scout because he lives like a girl. If I had a little girl, they would not be in Girl Scouts. The head of the Girl Scout movement is an avowed lesbian. Check it out. Oh, it's not too well, is it, preacher? Yeah, it's pretty good. He's coming. Glory to God. Regardless of my situation, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Whatever situation. Regardless of Satan, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. Thank God it is well. Regardless of my sin, the bless of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then the sound of the chorus, it is well with my soul. May God help us this morning to understand all things are well. Just how we perceive them. It's how we look at them. If you're a believer this morning, if you're saved, the situation, Satan, or sin. The writer of that song said, it is well. Just days before, he'd lost his daughters. Philip P. Bliss put the music to that song. If you look through your book, you'll find P.P. Bliss on a lot of songs. He put the music to a lot of songs. 2 weeks after he wrote the music to this song, he and his wife were in a tragic train accident. I believe it was 1866, 1869, somewhere through there. And he could have escaped, but he decided his wife was trapped. The train was burning, and he stayed and died with her. You know why he could do that? That song may have given him a little bit of an understanding and assurance. It's okay. Thank God this morning, it's well. If you're here not saved, it's not well. Things not well. If you're here outside of the will of God, it's not well. Oh, but thank God it's well with my soul. Let's stand this morning.